Well, tonight we are going to start a brand new study on the tabernacle of Moses. We're going to begin tonight by turning to Exodus chapter 25, and we'll read the first 9 verses. And tonight we just want to give, in the broadest spectrum, an overall view of our study, and then we'll come back in detail. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. This is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, in ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. That's a key verse there, verse 9, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this study tonight and also the weeks ahead, that as we study about the tabernacle and the pattern that you established, that we would see Jesus and learn some key truths and application for our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The tabernacle was a sanctuary for the Jews as they were in the wilderness. As one man had said, they were camping with God. And the pattern was very, very important. Notice in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40. It says, And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So God is reiterating, God is saying over and over again to follow the pattern. And you'll notice that when God repeats things in the Bible, he's putting emphasis on them. And God says, make it according to the pattern, because you're going to see there is a spiritual lesson. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2, and we're going to be going back and forth between Exodus and Hebrews. Maybe not necessarily so much tonight, but throughout this study. And Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. In other words, this is what it's all about. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now the high priest in the Old Testament was just a prophecy of our high priest, Jesus. Goes on to say, who's a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Do you understand that all of these things, therefore, that are happening in the Old Testament are but shadows, types, prophecies, pictures, predictions, illustrations, amplifications, and things that point to a greater spiritual truth in the New Testament. Now, these things will come out later, and so I'll not specifically reference everything that I'm about to say, but let me give you something of the dimensions of the tabernacle. I just kind of want you to get it more or less in your mind. The tabernacle had an outer court, 75 feet by 150 feet in size, and then it had a gate, one gate, and the gate was toward the east. The gate was very wide. It was 30 feet wide to represent that the way to God under proper circumstances is wide open. Anyone can come. And in this outer court, there were two pieces of furniture. There was a brass or a brazen altar, and there was a laver or a great basin that people washed in. And then next you come to a tent-like structure, and this is the inner court. The tent was 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 45 feet long. So you can imagine that in your mind. And this was divided into two sections, the front court or the inner court. The front room was 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 30 feet long. That is, it was twice as long as it was high or wide, and that was called the inner court. And in that inner court, there were three pieces of furniture. On the north, there was a table, and on the south, there was a lamp or a lampstand, a menorah. And in the rear and right in the center was another altar, and this was the altar of incense. Now remember, this is the inner court. And then right behind that is another tent room that was 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. And in there were two pieces of furniture. A piece of furniture known as the Ark of the Covenant. And this is actually one piece, but it's considered two. On top of the Ark sat the mercy seat. And now, let me say that as we begin this, there are three basic truths that we'll be studying as we study the tabernacle. First of all, the tabernacle is a description of deity. Secondly, the tabernacle is a blueprint of the believers. And thirdly, the tabernacle is a shadow of salvation. The tabernacle describes Jesus. The tabernacle also describes man. And the tabernacle also tells us that we can come to God. So let's look first of all at the tabernacle as a description of deity. And we find that it is a shadow of Jesus. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, speaking of Jesus, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But that word dwelt literally means tabernacle. And it reads this way, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So Jesus was a tabernacle in which the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. And every detail of the tabernacle speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to show you this later on. But let me say this, that had you seen that tabernacle from the outside, you would not have said, my, how beautiful. When you saw the Old Testament temple that stood there on the Temple Mountain like a mountain of snow itself overlaid with gold, you would have said, how beautiful. But when you saw the tabernacle, you didn't say, how beautiful. It was as plain and drab as it could possibly be. It was just a plain white fence, 7.5 feet tall all the way around it. And then it's covered with badger skin, drab, dull, ugly badger skin. And had you seen it, you would have said, that's not very pretty. But when you came inside the tabernacle and saw the tabernacle lighted by that 7-pronged candlestick, you would have taken a deep breath and said, my, it's beautiful. That is simply beautiful. All kinds of woven work and gold and shimmering beauty and purple and scarlet and blue and white colors and needlework. And you would have said, this is one of the most beautiful sights I have ever seen. But outwardly, it wouldn't have been beautiful at all. You see, that tells me something about Jesus. There are a lot of people who are not impressed with Jesus. You know why? They're seeing Jesus from the wrong side. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That is, when you look at him through the natural eye, there's not a whole lot of beauty there. And the people say, well, the peasant from Galilee. But oh, to those of us who have come into the door and have seen Jesus from the inside, our eyes see the King. And he's beautiful. The only way I know him is that God showed him to me by his mercy and grace. But I tell you, I never would have known him through the natural eye. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. And I pray for you in this study, as you see the tabernacle,
You see it from the inside and not from the outside. The only way to see it from the inside is to come in through the door. And incidentally, Jesus is not only the inside, he's also the door. And all of it is about Jesus. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door." And so you've got to come in through him. Second thing I want us to talk about tonight concerning the tabernacle is that it is a blueprint of the believer. Not only is it a description of deity, but it is also a blueprint of the believer. Now remember that the tabernacle had three rooms, the outer court, the inner court, and the innermost court. And these really picture the triune nature of man. You see, man is a house of three rooms. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now with your body, you have physical life. With your soul, you have psychological life. The Greek word for soul is psyche. It's the word we get psychology, psychiatry, psychic from. And then when you're with your spirit, you have spiritual life. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And everybody is to have three kinds of life: physical life, psychological life, and spiritual life. And this is pictured by the tabernacle. The outer court represents the body. You see, you're looking at my outer court right now. You see the outer man. And who remembers what two pieces of furniture were in the outer court? What was there? In the outer court, there was the altar, the brazen altar. And what happened at the brazen altar? Sacrifices were made. So you see, the body is the place of sacrifice. That's where the sacrifice is made. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." The inner court represents the soul. And then they came into the inner court, and the inner court representing the soul was a place of worship and fellowship. And that represents the inner man. You can't see my inner man, but my inner man is talking to you. It's being vocalized through the old house that I live in. But I have an inner man, and I can share my inner man with you, and you can share your inner man with me. And so we share back and forth. Our souls are communicating. The soul being made up of the mind, the emotions, and the will. And my soul is teaching your soul. And so the believers communicate with one another in that inner court. But then there is the innermost court, and this represents the spirit. It's called the Holy of Holies, or it's called the inner sanctum. Remember that back room, 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet, a perfect cube. That corresponds to the Holy of Holies in man, which is his spirit. And God's Shekinah glory dwelt in that back room, in that Holy of Holies. And where does God dwell in me? In my Holy of Holies. And what is my Holy of Holies? My spirit. God's spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And so the Holy of Holies was the place of deepest individual, personal communion. And we'll see more of this, and we'll be making some applications later. And I'm not giving you a lot of applications, just trying to give you an overview right now. The tabernacle is a description of deity. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. The tabernacle is also a blueprint of the believer. John 14:17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he tabernacles with you, and shall be in you." See, you are a tabernacle. And then the third part of the message tonight is that the tabernacle is a shadow of salvation. Now I want you to think about the furniture with me for a moment. We'll just take the idea of the furniture and just give you an illustration. Though we could give it in many ways, I want you to notice the furniture as it was set up. If you came in the door, right there at the door would be the altar, the brazen altar. And if you came right past the altar, you'd come to the laver. And then as you walk right past the laver, you would come to the table of showbread. That is, there would be a table on the north, and that table would have bread on it, loaves of bread. And then if you turn to your left and you look, there would be a candlestick or a lampstand glowing and burning. And it would be made of gold and would have seven prongs in it. Actually, one main stem representing God and six branches representing man, because six is the number of man, one is the number of God. You add those together and you have seven, the number of perfection. We'll get into that later. And then if you went past just a little further, you would see an altar of incense. And there would be smoke going up, sweet-smelling, perfumed smoke burning. And then as you would go on a little further, you would come right into the Holy of Holies. And there would be two more pieces of furniture. There would be the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Now, the interesting thing is this. If you look at those pieces of furniture in the order in which they are laid out, they make a cross. And I don't think that's by chance or by accident. I feel quite strongly that the order and the sequence of these pieces of furniture is very logical and yet very spiritual. And I want you to notice how each of them speak of Christ and of our salvation at the same time. But first of all, the brazen altar speaks of Christ, our sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice because it was there that the blood was shed. The animal had his blood shed. The animal was offered there on the brazen altar. And so the brazen altar speaks of Christ, our sacrifice. The laver speaks of Christ, our sanctification. The next thing you would do after you pass the blood is come to this laver and wash in the laver. There was water in the laver. And you wash there. And so what does that speak of? It speaks of Christ, our sanctification. Christ, our sacrifice, and then Christ, our sanctification. Because the Bible says that we're cleansed by Jesus' blood. Once we are forgiven by Jesus' blood, there is the cleansing by the washing of water of the Word. And then you come to the table of showbread, which speaks of Christ, our sustenance. Well, right over there on the right-hand side on this table was there the worshipers were to taste of the bread. What does that represent? Christ, my substance, because I feed on Jesus. See, not only does he forgive me, not only does he cleanse me, he sustains me. I must feed on him. He's the bread of life. And then that bread over there, that showbread, as it was called, and we'll see why later on. But that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my sustenance. And then the candlestick speaks of Christ, our sight. On the left-hand side is a light and it's shining. There was no other illumination in that room except this candlestick. And it represents Christ, our sight, because you see, he is the light of the world. And not only is he my substance, but he is my light. He is my sight. It is in Christ that I can see. John said, except a man be born again, he can't come in except this way. If he comes any other way, he cannot see. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The altar of incense speaks of Christ, our supplication. Right past the other altars, the altar, the laver, the table of showbread, the candlestick, we come to another altar. And on this altar, incense is being burned. Incense is sending up sweet, perfumed smoke. And what does that represent? Symbolically, it stands for prayer. You see, the sweet odors are called in the book of Revelation the prayer of the saints, Revelation 5:8. And the Lord is teaching that just as that smoke ascended up into the nostrils of God, our prayers, like a sweet-smelling savor, are ascending to God continuously, continually up to God. And what does that represent? Christ, our supplication, because you see, it's through Christ that we pray in the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. But also, Christ is praying for us, as Hebrews 7:25 says, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so the altar of incense speaks of Christ, my supplication, the one to whom I pray and the one through whom I pray. And then the Holy of Holies speaks of Christ, our satisfaction. Without going into a lot of detail, let me say this is the most intimate relationship. And it represents Christ, our satisfaction, because he is our all in all. When you come the way of the cross, when you start with the blood and come back to labor and feed on the bread and walk in the light and pray in the Spirit, then you'll know something of the communion in the inner cube, Christ, our satisfaction. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John tonight, and I want you to see something that's really amazing. Because John goes through the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle and describes them as Jesus, just the same way the book of Exodus takes us through. We see that Jesus is the tabernacle. And he begins in John chapter 1 and verse 29. It says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is Christ our sacrifice. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. So there he is, Christ our sacrifice. And then I wanted you to notice in John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water. What was in the labor? Water. This is not talking about baptism now. Don't mistake it for that. It's talking about being born again by the washing of water by regeneration. The washing of the Word of God. Christ our sacrifice. Christ our sanctification. You see it right there. Now let's just continue to go right through the Gospel of John. And I want you to look in John chapter 6. Because what should be the next thing? Christ our sustenance. John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's continue right on through this Gospel of John, and we come to John chapter 9 and verse 6. Here's the story of the healing of the blind man. And the scripture says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by his interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And then Jesus said, I am the light of the world, in John chapter 12 and verse 46. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. You see, Jesus is our sight. Jesus is our golden candlestick. And then we keep going through the Gospel of John. And we come to John chapter 14. And I want you to notice verse 13. It says, and whosoever shall ask, or whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Christ, our supplication. You see, he is our altar of incense. And when you come to the Lord to pray, don't come to God and offer God the brass of your emotions. Don't wait until you feel juicy before you pray. Come with both hands full of the incense of his dear name and offer that to God. Christ is our altar of incense. Christ is our supplication. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, let's go right on through the Gospel of John here and notice in John chapter 17 and verse 20. We're getting right down to the very heart of the thing now. This is the intercessory prayer of Jesus. And he prays, neither pray I for these alone. So here's Christ now. He's at the mercy seat, offering his own worth on our behalf, praying through the atoning blood. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. Here we are in the Holy of Holies, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And this is one of the greatest statements in all of the Bible, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Have you ever thought how much God loves you? He loves you, if this verse means what it says, and I believe it does, he loves you as much as he loves his dear son, the Lord Jesus. We are in the Holy of Holies. Christ our satisfaction. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Christ is in God. God is in Christ. And together at the mercy seat, we worship in the sweetest and highest communion that man could ever know. And all of these truths we're going to see later on, one at a time. But I just wanted you to see the beautifulness of it tonight. And do you think this just happened by chance? That we walk through the tabernacle and walk through the Gospel of John the same way? Do you think that these events just came by chance, beginning with the altar and going to the water, and going on to the bread, and going on to the sight, and going on to the prayer, and going on into the Holy of Holies? No man could have written a book like this apart from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would continually speak to us and help us to realize, Lord, that when Jesus died, the veil was torn, that we might enter into the Holy of Holies and dwell in the Shekinah glory of you. Father, I pray that we may see the tabernacle from the inside. Lord, that we might see the King in his beauty tonight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.